Pushkin. The maintenance hangar at Birmingham International Airport, near an industrial city in the English Midlands, is not a glamorous location in the dark hours before the dawn, but it is an important one. The night shift maintenance manager is replacing an aging aeroplane windshield. Let's call him Guy. It isn't his real name. Standing on a raised maintenance platform beside the plane, Guy examines the 90 bolts he's just removed, along with the old windshield. Those bolts are a bit worn, he thinks. He's going to need to replace them too. But one bolt looks pretty much the same as any other. Which ones should he use? I'm Tim Harford, and you're listening to Cautionary Tales. Instead of consulting the manual, Guy grabs one of the bolts he's removed, climbs down, and heads to the room where the spare parts are stored. He knows roughly what he's looking for and so quickly finds the box with the bolts that match the bolt he's brought with him. They're A2117Ds. Oh crap, says Guy to himself. There are less than half a dozen left. He needs 85 more. Guy drives across the airport to another spares storage facility. This one is unstaffed and poorly lit. If you're standing in front of the parts drawers, you're also obstructing the light. It's night, it's raining, and Guy hasn't brought his reading glasses. Even if he had, the drawers aren't labelled properly. Crap, 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 crap. At least Guy has one of the right bolts with him. So he manually compares it until he finds a box with the right bolts in. Or at least, he thinks they're the right bolts. And then he remembers one section of the windshield needs six slightly longer bolts. Which ones are they? He finds the longer bolts and drives back to the plane. The next step is to grab a special tool called a torque wrench, which, when the bolt is tight enough, stops tightening and instead gives a click. Except that the torque wrench is missing from the tool store. Crap, 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 crap. I should confess that I'm someone who has trouble putting up a bookshelf so that it stays straight and level at a height of 4 feet. I have both sympathy and admiration for the maintenance crews who keep an entire aeroplane in tip-top condition, able to keep straight and level at 30,000 feet. But the thought that one of them might be as fallible as I am, it's unnerving. Matt Parker, whose book Humble Pie contains the definitive account of this sorry tale, writes, I can really empathise with the guy. It wasn't even his job to replace the windshield, but because they were short-staffed that night and he was the manager, he stepped in to avoid further delays. Great. So, Guy is trying to replace a windshield. He doesn't have the right parts, he doesn't have the right tools, and it's not even his regular job. And did I mention that it's 4 o'clock in the morning? Guy returns to the plane with his next best option, a torque-limiting screwdriver. The trouble is, it needs an adapter, which doesn't fit, which means that the adapter keeps falling out, and Guy keeps having to climb down from the maintenance platform and climb back up again. It also means he's having to use both hands for the job, which is awkward. Finally, Guy reaches for those six longer bolts. They don't fit. You have to be kidding me. In the end, Guy decides that the old bolts he'd decided to replace are probably fine. It's now 5 o'clock in the morning. It's been a long night shift, but at least Guy can head home to bed in the knowledge of a job well done. A day later, the 10th of June, 1990, British Airways Flight 5390 climbed off the runway at Birmingham Airport and turned south towards Malaga in Spain. There were 81 passengers on board, and most of them were looking forward to a vacation on the Costa del Sol. As a plane climbs higher, the air pressure outside gets lower. The air inside is kept at a constant pressure, so it pushes more and more firmly against the inside of the aircraft. There's a huge amount of pressure pushing out against the windshield. As BA 5390 rose past 17,000 feet, Captain Tim Lancaster was relaxing and shrugging off his shoulder harness. He had no warning at all. There was a sudden explosive bang and the windshield disappeared. The cabin almost instantly depressurized. Captain Lancaster was sucked out of his seat and out towards the freezing air above Didcot, Oxfordshire. He would have disappeared just as quickly as the windshield had his legs not become tangled in the aircraft controls. Flight steward Nigel Ogden was opening the door to the flight deck to offer the crew a cup of tea. The door was ripped off its hinges and flew out of the gap where the windshield had been. Ogden just had time to see that Captain Lancaster was heading the same way. Instinctively, he leaped forward and grabbed Lancaster's waist. But he gashed his hand badly as he did. And without the protection of the windshield, Ogden was now being blasted with air at 0 degrees Fahrenheit as he desperately tried to keep hold of Captain Lancaster's legs. The upper half of Lancaster's body was outside the plane and now in danger of disappearing into the slipstream. Through the side windshield, Nigel Ogden could see the captain being buffeted against the outside of the plane. Lancaster's face was bloodied, his eyes wide and sightless. Meanwhile, the co-pilot, Alistair Atchison, was fortunately still in his shoulder harness. But when Tim Lancaster's legs had snagged in the controls, they'd switched off the autopilot. The plane was now plummeting downwards at hundreds of miles an hour. Co-pilot Atchison was fighting to get the aircraft back under control while coping with the wind and the lack of oxygen and the cold. At that kind of altitude, you really want to be wearing a thick coat, a hat and gloves. Atchison was dressed in short sleeves. So was flight steward Nigel Ogden. He was bleeding, freezing, and starting to lose his grip on Captain Lancaster. Other crew members rushed to help. There was a hurried exchange as to whether they would have to let go of the captain's body. "Never," yelled Ogden. "How would they look his widow in the eyes?" Co-pilot Atchison had a more practical concern. He shouted that the body might hit the plane's engine. He urged them to hang on. Eventually, Alistair Atchison managed to level the plane at a lower altitude. The air became warmer and more breathable. But he still had to get the plane on the ground. He was yelling at air traffic control, trying to be heard over the rush of the wind. They directed him to Southampton Airport on the south coast of England. Atchison pointed out that the plane was heavy with fuel, so he'd need a long runway to be able to stop safely. "As long as we have 2,500 metres, I'm happy," he said. Air traffic control gave him the bad news. Southampton's runway was 700 metres short of that. But under the circumstances, Atchison didn't want to make any more detours. "Talk me down," he told Southampton control. "I need all the help I can get. And make sure the emergency crews are ready." Against the odds, Atchison's landing was perfect. Bleeding and frostbitten, Nigel Ogden staggered back to help evacuate the passengers. None of them were hurt. Most of them elected to fly on to Malaga that afternoon. Ogden returned to the flight deck to find Captain Tim Lancaster lying on a paramedic stretcher. He was blooded, and most of his clothes had been ripped off. But he was awake and asking when he could eat. Ogden slumped into a seat and began to sob with shock and relief. Why had the aeroplane's brand new windshield popped off? It isn't hard to guess. The day before the flight, maintenance guy had grabbed the wrong bolts, hadn't he? He didn't have the A2117D bolts. He'd got himself a fistful of A2118Cs. Matt Parker, the author of Humble Pie, ordered himself both types of bolt just to take a look. They're astonishingly similar. The A2117D bolts have a slightly different thread, are fractionally shorter, and are 1/4 of 1/10 of an inch thicker. Even in daylight, with perfect eyesight, the difference is hard to spot. Guy was doing it in the dark, without his glasses. But while a difference is subtle, that 1/4 of 1/10 of an inch means that the bolts are slim enough to be ripped out once the air pressure outside is low enough. That is exactly what happened. But as Matt Parker explains, there's more going on here. Guy only chose the wrong bolts because the original store wasn't properly stocked, and the backup store was a poorly lit, poorly labelled mess. He didn't notice that the bolts didn't fit properly because he was using the wrong tool, which obscured his view. His torque-limiting screwdriver was supposed to click when it reached the right tension. Instead, the misfitted bolts would slip in a way that apparently felt quite similar. And the shift manager didn't check Guy's work, because Guy was the shift manager. Safety experts have a cute analogy to describe what's going on here. First proposed by James Reason, a psychologist and the author of many books about human error. James Reason's analogy is to imagine different safety measures as slices of Swiss cheese with holes in them. Line up slice after slice of Swiss cheese, and usually the holes won't overlap. There'll be no holes that go all the way through the stack of cheese slices. In this analogy, the holes represent something going wrong. But usually, when something goes wrong, there's some sort of fallback. A hole in one slice is covered by cheese from another slice. Or maintenance guy grabs the wrong bolts, but with the proper tool and a better view, he notices that the bolts are slipping. Or a supervisor checks the work and spots the problem. Mistakes turn into accidents when all the problems line up, like all the slices of Swiss cheese having a hole in the same place. That's really bad luck, a million to one piece of bad luck. But sometimes, really bad luck strikes. I interviewed James Reason a few years ago, and he told me he's been thinking about his Swiss cheese analogy a little differently. The mistakes don't all have to line up simultaneously. Instead, some mistakes cause lasting problems that nobody notices. They lurk in wait, never fixed. It's like that particular slice of Swiss cheese was nibbled away months ago, and nobody's realised. For example, the rule that if the shift manager does the work, nobody checks it, that's an accident waiting to happen. So's the badly organised, badly stocked, badly lit spare parts store. And perhaps most profoundly, so is the existence of several subtly different types of bolt. The bolts are in labelled boxes, but they themselves aren't labelled, and they're almost indistinguishable. Yet put the wrong one in, and you have a problem. This confusion could be avoided. The entire windshield could have been designed to be fitted from the inside, so that the internal air pressure pushed it tighter against the hull. More awkward, perhaps, but safer. Failing that, new windshields could at least come pre-packaged as a kit with a set of the correct bolts. At the very least, each bolt could be stamped with a label. When the windshield was found, intact, in a field near Oxford, along with some of the bolts, it didn't take accident investigators long to figure out what had gone wrong. Broadly speaking, they blamed Guy. And the managers who should have been paying more attention to the way Guy and his colleagues were doing their jobs. Fair enough. But they also discovered something else. When British Airways had acquired the aircraft, the windshield was already fitted with the wrong bolts. Instead of being slightly too slim, they were slightly too short. It's all a question of whether you fit the A2117Ds, the A2118Cs, or the correct bolts, the A2118Ds. Confused? Well, maintenance guy was. Anyway, it turns out that you can get away with bolts that are slightly too short. But as Captain Tim Lancaster discovered, you can't get away with bolts that are too slim. You should also be nervous. After the accident, airlines started double-checking the windshields on this sort of plane. It turns out that BA5390 wasn't the only plane flying with the wrong bolts. Not by a long shot. One airline found that half the planes of this type had windshields fastened with bolts that were too short. Maintenance guy had caused a terrifying accident. But perhaps more unnerving were all those planes flying around the world with the wrong bolts installed. Captain Tim Lancaster had suffered frostbite and a broken arm, along with many cuts and bruises, but within a few months he'd recovered. He continued flying for another 15 years before retiring. Nigel Ogden wasn't so lucky. He suffered a dislocated shoulder and a frostbitten eye. But the real injury was to his peace of mind. He could never forget the experience of clinging on to what he assumed was a corpse, or the sight of Tim Lancaster's face smashing against the window, eyes sightlessly staring. He retired early on the grounds of ill health and went to work for a charity. Given what we now know about all those planes, and all those wrong bolts, I don't blame him. If you like stories of things going wrong, you'll love Matt Parker's book, Humble Pie. For a full list of our sources, see the show notes at timharford.com. Cautionary Tales is written by me, Tim Harford, with Andrew Wright. It's produced by Ryan Dilley, with support from Courtney Garino and Emily Vaughan. The sound design and original music is the work of Pascal Wise. Julia Barton edited the scripts. It features the voice talents of Ben Crow, Melanie Gutteridge, Stella Harford, and Rufus Wright. The show also wouldn't have been possible without the work of Mia LaBelle, Jacob Weisberg, Heather Fain, John Schnars, Carly Migliori, Eric Sandler, Royston Beserve, Maggie Taylor, Nicole Morano, Daniela Lacan, and Maya Koenig. Cautionary Tales is a production of Pushkin Industries. If you like the show, please remember to share, rate, and review.